All right, hello everyone. My name is Josh, and we're going to have our Riders Advisory Council meeting for September of 2022. Looking at the agenda for today, we're just going to get started, and then we'll go into three sections of upcoming notes that we have. And then we'll have a time for any discussion from the members. And that's it that we have planned for today. So I see on the call that we have Astime. And Astime, who is that behind you?
Teresa.
Doretha, that's right. And we have Carrie, and we have Mr. Tirigal. Is that correct? Tirigal. Nice. Okay. Perfect. Well, welcome everyone. So the first note I have is the fare free period that is currently ongoing and will be continued through the end of October and through October 31st, and we will reinstitute all of our normal fares November 1st. Does anyone have any questions on that?
Would there be a change?
No change to the fares. We'll just bring back how they were. All right. If no one has any other questions on that, which I think is pretty exciting, we'll move on to item number two, which is we have some upcoming service changes coming in November. These service changes are not locked in yet, but they're being looked at right now. A couple of the things being looked at include some stuff from the plans from before the pandemic. We're not quite sure if we'll be able to get all the way to those plans. But we're going to try and get as close as we can to them based on the number of drivers that we have. Again, paratransit won't be affected by this. We're going to continue all the service we currently provide to paratransit. And I guess if there's in the future when new fixed route service is initiated, which we might not be able to do this go around, but and when that does happen, because that is part of the plans, the ADA paratransit service will be expanded slightly to match that. But otherwise, our GPT general paratransit still covers everything in the county. Any questions on the upcoming service change? Yes, I see a hand raised. Go ahead.
I have a question regarding about the Route 505, and I have a regarding question for it. Will the schedule for the Route 505 have the same kind of service band for the Route 405 as of right now?
We're at a beginning stage of that. We're doing some calculations as to how many drivers we have and how many hours we can successfully accomplish. So the goal is to have similar service band hours to all of our fixed route. But I don't know off the top of my head what, or I guess, not that I don't know, but it has not been determined yet what those service hours would be for that route.
And are you completely certain and confident that we will go back to the 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock p.m. service come November?
No, that's what I'm just that's what we're looking at right now. We're going to try and implement as much of that as we can, but I'm not sure how much is going to be implemented over the next few weeks. That's when we're kind of crunching all those numbers and and seeing where that stands. We don't have that done yet, just because we have training classes coming in like next week and 2 weeks after that. And so until we get those training classes underway, we're not entirely sure how many staff we'll have ready for November. So we're just kind of, yes, ma'am.
I was wondering, can we say with more confidence that if we can't do it by November, we believe we can do it the first week of January? Or is that just as difficult to anticipate?
So in general, we try to keep the new service in line with our drivers'
the picks.
Schedule changes.
Okay.
Right. And so that happens 3 times a year, so every 4 months.
So you would say that if it doesn't happen in November, it probably will happen in March?
Right. That would be the goal. Right.
Got it. Okay. So that's good to know that at least if we can't get it quite back up to where it was, in the next couple of months, at least we have another goal and we're fairly certain that we can fill in those positions by that point.
Yeah. And so for November, we do believe we'll be able to increase the service levels from where it is today, but we're just not sure how much that's going to be, whether right. that's all of our routes going back to their pre-pandemic end time. So a lot of routes were ending at 11 p.m. Back before the pandemic, mm-hmm. or whether we're going to have room in there to introduce the new route. That's just kind of like the 505. That's where we are right now is we're just not sure how much of that we'll be able to reinstitute, but the goal is to reinstitute some of that in November. And then whatever we're not able to do in November, the goal is to finish instituting all that by March.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Does anyone else have any questions about the service increase? I wish I had more solid numbers for you guys, like what the increases would be. But as of right now, we don't have that yet. We're just trying to see how these next couple classes pan out. All right, well, the next one I know everyone is super excited for. We can't wait. So I'll say two things about it. One is that we have 20 new vehicles coming to our fleet in the next couple of months. 11 of those are transit buses for our fixed route service, and 9 of those are paratransit buses for our paratransit service. We're super excited about these vehicles. They're gonna be brand new. We're not getting them used. And then the only down, so they should be coming relatively quickly, hopefully all like in our lot by the end of the year is the current predictions. But when we get them, it does take a little bit of time for them to be put in service.
Yeah.
So we've got to get them registered with the state. We do our own inspection of them to make sure that they're safe and stuff like that. So we've got to put them on our insurance. So a little bit of paperwork and stuff like that before they go out on the road. But hopefully they're in our hands by the end of the year, mm-hmm. and then we can get them on the road shortly after.
And Asma, I wanted to mention to you, I know we're gonna be planning to talk soon about vehicle purchases. We talked about that last time we all met up. These vehicles that we're getting, the paratransit vehicles are what we call cutaways. They're small transit buses. They're not the mobility vans. We have not reordered any new mobility vans, and we are going to meet with you guys and discuss some of the challenges of the current fleet of mobility vans. Sorry, a cat just fell on me. We're going to discuss those with you before we order any new mobility vans so that we can try to avoid some of the problems that we've encountered with the existing fleet of vans.
Thank you, Carrie. You just sure. saved me from asking Josh whether they were going to be the cutaway buses or whether they were going to be those vans. So thank you for that.
Sure, no problem.
So yeah, those were all my notes, you guys. Those are some pretty big upcoming changes that we're really super excited about. Does anyone? Yes, I see a hand up.
Is that Jorge?
I was going to make sure that I heard it right, because I'm really sick and tired of, you know, broken down buses, yeah, waiting for every 2 hours to every kind of route that you know is having some trouble. And to be quite honest, if I don't see that a bus is not on time, it makes me really disappointed to see that every time when a bus breaks down, I get mad as hell. And well, I think quite frankly that the service could be improved, and I think it's really improving with these purchases of the buses, so that instead of waiting every 2 hours, I can wait every 1 hour, and that the service is completely continuous. No interruptions, no nothing.
Well, you'll probably be super excited then, Jorge, to hear that in addition to these 20 vehicles that we are purchasing, or that we're receiving in the next month or two, we actually are ordering an additional, let me think about it for a second, so that 19 more vehicles that we will have, we will receive by early spring of 24. So we will have by that time replaced 45 out of the 75 vehicles that we have in our fleet. So far more than half of our vehicles will be new within about a year and a half. So we're actually working really hard to get our fleet up to standard so that we don't have the problems that you're talking about, because we really want to be able to provide the service that we schedule and publish and not have these problems with the buses breaking down. And it's been really unfortunate that we have had them, but we are doing everything we can to rectify that situation now.
That I am most satisfied to hear this kinds of news.
I'm glad to tell you.
Well, yeah, that's really awesome. I got to tell you, our drivers, our maintenance staff, everyone involved in the operation is just as excited for these new vehicles as you guys are. We get as disappointed as you guys do when we have to put service down. Those are all the notes I have for the upcoming, things that are happening with RTA. Does anyone have any questions about those, or any comments or questions about anything else?
Tara, how many you said were the additional ones that were expected by 24?
19 additional to the 20 that we're expecting this year.
Okay.
And then if you add in the sedans that we just received within the last 6 months or a year,
right,
if you add all those up together, it comes out to 45 vehicles, I think, if I did my math in my head correctly. Mm-hmm. But actually, Josh is much better doing math in his head than I am, so he may have better numbers for you. But from what I can gather,
45 is right. I'm so excited about it. I can tell you how many vehicles of each type that is. Six sedans, 11 transit buses. So six sedans, 11 transit buses, and 9 paratransit cutaways that are this year. And then 19 more coming for 2024, which all adds up to the 45.
Actually, I thought it was 39, because 20 plus 19 equals 39.
Right, and then Carrie was adding in the 6 Toyota Camrys that we received like 6 months ago. So they're also very, very new.
Yeah, the reason that I counted those is because they were, I was talking about all vehicles purchased from fiscal year 20 to fiscal year 23. And so that those got included, even though they're already here and in service. So.
It's exciting.
It is. It's very exciting. We're going to be able to do a lot better when we have, you know, good vehicles that we can count on.
And that there will be less breakdowns and less delays.
That's right. Absolutely.
As you may not know, I'm a punctual person. I can't even tolerate any delays and lateness.
I gather that. I think that yes, I understand. And I feel the same way. And I think a lot of people do. So we understand.
All right. Does anyone else have any questions about these notes or about anything else going on with RTA?
I have one statement I'd like to make, and I don't know if you all would be able to respond to it. We're getting all these new vehicles and all, and that sounds wonderful. But I have been apprised of the fact that within the paratransit, within the mobility service, that there seems to be a number of missed trips or people being late. Now, I can only speak for what I have experienced. And I do know that it was, I think, week before last, that here in the building that I live in, there was a gentleman who was scheduled for a trip to go to dialysis. I became aware of this because when the bus came for me, he was trying to find out where his bus was, and it was over an hour and a half late.
Oh my goodness.
So I am not understanding what's going on with the paratransit trips. All rides are important. If people have scheduled the rides, they want to be there on time. Dialysis really irks me.
You're right.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, what in the hell is going on? So someone needs to take a look at what's happening.
Absolutely. So we do keep track of all of our late trips and missed trips. We record all that information, and we do our very best to try to schedule things in advance to avoid that from happening. And that being said, I'm going to say this with a grain of salt, but because I also understand how vastly important it is to be on time to dialysis appointments, because everything you miss is so vital. Mm-hmm. But as far as the Americans with Disabilities Act, all those laws, we can't prioritize any ride over any other ride. So we do our very best to get every ride as soon as we can. But if we're running late, we aren't allowed to choose one person over another.
Right.
But when we have with the dialysis patients, a lot of them maybe aren't able to take the cabs, but it appears to me if a driver is more than 15 minutes late, some action should be taken to make sure that the ride is going to be provided. If you go to if you miss your doctor's appointments, there are some doctors now who are charging mm-hmm. for your a fee
for a
missed appointment. And also, when you have your dialysis patients, I think dispatch knows where the rider is going by the address that's given. It seems to me that the system should be set up that if one of the drivers for some reason is running late, there should be some immediate plan in place to get that person to their destination so that they're not losing that. We're talking about life and death here.
We know.
Ms. Curtis, so to address that, when one driver is running late, oftentimes the passengers don't even notice it because we do automatically start calling all the other drivers and take the work off their day and try to spread it to other drivers to keep everyone on time. That happens today right now. What gets us sometimes is when multiple drivers, all of our drivers start running late due to a lot of trips, due to traffic, due to weather. It could be a lot of things. And when that happens, we do reach out to Columbia Cab and we try our best, but they also only have a limited staff. So we give them as many rides as they're able to take, and then we just do our very best to get all of our rides as quickly as possible in a safe manner. And I gotta tell you, from our drivers, that they really do care. I've had drivers come up to my door and tell me this exact same thing. And they're not the ones going to dialysis. They're just the ones who are driving, but they really, really do care. They don't like being late. We don't penalize them for being late, because I've seen them. They're not, I've never seen someone to this day at this location just lounging about when they need to get work done.
Right.
Whenever they have rides, they're not, and it's not because they're doing it because I'm such a nice person, they're trying to be nice to me. They're doing it because they really care about their riders. I talk to these drivers, and they know most of their riders on a first name basis. They know a lot of these riders like life history. So if we're backed up, it's really, we're trying our best with new vehicles that will help. And also, I don't have a promise of this yet, but I'm doing everything I can to push this by my boss, is when we get the new vehicles, the current plan with this new fleet is to replace the old vehicles. But if I can, I'm gonna try and convince my boss, and Carrie doesn't even know this yet, but I'm gonna try and convince my boss to keep some of the better old vehicles and therefore be able to hire more staff, more drivers to handle that workload better. I've already had a discussion with him once. He's open to it. At this point, it's just we've got to look in the budget and find room in the budget to hire that staff.
Well, the service is for the people, and the people should be able to depend on the service. So however it's going to take to work it out, I hope I don't ever have to hear that dialysis patients are hour, 2 hours late getting to their session, because from what I understand, I know nothing about dialysis, and thank God I'm not one of those patients, but I understand that they're supposed to be on the machine for a certain length of time, and if they are late, then it cuts into their time.
Unfortunately, that is correct. Just like our rides, the dialysis centers get really, really busy. So if you're late, you just kind of lose your time there.
Oh.
So that we have no control over. We really do try our best to get everyone, I mean, not just the dialysis patients, but everyone, where they're trying to go, when they're trying to go there.
Yeah. I was talking to Jason, the GM, last week about this, because to be honest with you, Asma, I had several calls, and I almost never get calls about, particularly about paratransit, but there must have been a couple of really rough days, because I did get calls, and I had been fielding them over to RTA to respond to them. And I spoke to Jason about it, and he said that there were several vehicle problems that occurred that meant that there were just fewer vehicles available than normal. And so there were some really rough mornings because of that. So obviously that's not the way that we like things to operate. And we hope to keep those days to an absolute minimum. But unfortunately, every once in a while, you have days like that when things go wrong.
Can the riders be called to make them aware that they're not just sitting there for an hour? And I'm not sure why some writers, I would say more senior writers, older than we are, and especially here, they do not call to find out where their ride is.
Right.
And no one has called them to say we're running 30 minutes to an hour late. So is there a way that the riders can be called to make them aware, which means they can call the clinic and say, my ride is late? But most of the riders that go to the medical appointments make their clinics aware that they do ride paratransit or fixed route. So they may be late. Some are aware of this and they will adjust their schedule. But if the patient does not call them, then it will be considered, you know, maybe you'd have to pay for not showing up, or we cancel it because you did not show up and charge me. So is there a reason why the riders are not called?
I would have to look into this further. I believe that sometimes riders are getting called, but I have to double check to make sure that that's not a sometimes, that's an every time everyone's getting called.
Josh, I can tell you, I've been one of those. No, I have not been called. But I called them.
Okay.
So that's a little difference. I usually just call. If they're not there, I give them 20 minutes, depending on my 15. Time that I'm to be at my clinic. So
okay.
If they're 20 minutes, then yes, I will. If they're 30 minutes, I usually call again.
I'm gonna work on that. That's gonna be a top priority over this next quarter. Actually, well, I'll try and get done faster than that, but.
And thank you for your suggestion of keeping or retaining some of the older shuttles for backup if like dialysis patients.
Right.
They really, that is like a life and death for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a backup, that will be excellent.
Yeah, I'm going to work on phone calls for days like that where your ride is coming late to make sure that they get phone calls in advance as soon as we are aware that we're going to be late.
Well, you know, Josh, this is not the first time that this particular type of situation has come up. It's come up in the past and usually the resolution is that, you know, we're going to have more people available so that those calls can be made. But I think that's the bottom line. In the dispatch office, is there someone there that can assume calling riders when those rides get backed up and they're late?
So yeah, that's an internal thing. I'm going to have to take a look at that. Off the top of my head, I'm not going to hold myself to this because I'm going to have to go around to each department and kind of try and figure this out, find a solution. But off the top of my head, my current thought is I'm going to see if on those days, if the call center can maybe help. And normally they field calls where if you call them, they'll answer. But I'm going to see if maybe they have the ability to place outgoing calls on those days because they have a staff of depending on the time of the day, up maybe two, three people in there who might be able to make those outgoing calls to let everyone know that our trips are delayed today.
And I'm wondering too, if part of this is the result of usage of those cutaways on the fixed route. Hopefully when the new vehicles come in, we won't have to have this particular conversation anymore.
Right.
Because it's gotten to be a little ridiculous. You know, when I heard about this, especially the gentleman, I don't even know who the man is, but the thing is, he is registered with RTA and he depends on RTA to get him back and forth to dialysis. So the driver, of course, called, and the vehicle did appear right behind, before my vehicle pulled off, the other vehicle did appear, but it was over an hour and a half late.
Hmm.
Wow.
Actually, there are two riders here.
Okay, I'm going to want to say that hopefully some of this can be eliminated when we do get the new vehicles, because there will be more paratransit vehicles on the line like they were before they started using them to supplement on the fixed route.
Right.
So I've been in our operations in the morning. The fixed route does not take a paratransit vehicle unless the paratransit vehicle is not needed on that side for that day.
Well, if there was an extra paratransit vehicle, maybe what we're talking about with the dialysis trips, maybe that wouldn't happen.
Well, on those days, we aren't late. We're, you know, within that 15-minute window before or after pretty much the entire day. It might get a little bit hairy at some points, but generally speaking, nothing more than that half an hour window on those days. On the days where there is no extra vehicles available and we're still actually down vehicles, where we need more vehicles, those are the days we're running into issues. But fixed route doesn't take a paratransit vehicle on those days.
So what happens to that fixed route trips, though, the fixed route that if they don't have an extra paratransit vehicle, then what happens? There's no fixed route service on that route that day?
No, ma'am. We have other places that we can and shut down other things before that. So we currently have a training department training all those new employees, and the priority is the current operations today. So they have a couple fixed route vehicles because that's where our training is focused mainly right now. So this is not obviously ideal, but in the last case scenario, we will shut down training for the day and put those vehicles on the fixed route in that case. Right. So no, we're doing our best to not shut anything down, but sometimes even with that, we are low on vehicles and we run out of vehicles. Just this older fleet can break down sometimes. But yes, no, we first pull from our training before we shut down trips on either side in the day. And that holds true with drivers. If we're low on drivers and we don't have the staff, we'll take the trainers and we'll put them out on the road to drive the routes rather than train for the day. Mm-hmm. The current operations that we have absolutely comes first. But if we can do things like continue our training, then we can get more drivers in, then we have less of a shortage, we can increase our service. If we can do things like get these new vehicles in, you know, it's all that kind of stuff we're working towards to try and get our service to be as reliable as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Does anyone else have anything? Well, I've taken a note, especially of the seeing if we can make sure those calls are going out whenever we're running late. So at least at a bare minimum, every rider is informed. Obviously, the goal is to just never be late, but mm-hmm. at least on those days, the riders could be informed. But otherwise, I think this was a very, very good meeting. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to say before we adjourn for the night? Well, it's been wonderful. If you guys come to the commission meeting in a week and a half, I believe, I'd be happy to see you. Otherwise, I will see you at the next Riders Advisory Council.
It's nice to see you guys.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
What are you gonna do? Reach out, calling?
I think what we'll try to do is get together on a Teams meeting. Me, you, and help me with her name.
Wait, what's at the last meeting? Is it Marlene?
Yeah, Marlene. Mm-hmm. You, me, and Marlene. If on a Teams meeting or a phone call or even in person, if that's what you'd like to do. But I'm just not sure when that is because there's not really a rush for it because we don't have any plans right now or funds to replace the mobility van. So, I would hate to have the conversation and then, you know, in 3 years when we go to order new ones, we've forgotten all about it. So I'm not saying it'll be 3 years. I'm just saying hypothetically. I'm just sort of keeping it on the schedule, you know, knowing that it's something that I will need, you know, it's sort of floating right now, something that I need to actually firm up, you know, in the next few months.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
Awesome.
Thanks, Josh.
Well, I will see you guys later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful rest of your night.
All righty, thank you. Bye. And where do we